If, like me, you attended a Catholic elementary school in the late 1960s, or maybe even earlier, your memories of the Feast of Christ the King probably include a lot of marching. We would line up with the boys on one side and the girls on the other, led by our battalion commander, Sister Mary Alma, and we would march from the schoolyard into the church, singing some sort of martial hymn, proclaiming ourselves soldiers of Christ, following the cross, ready to storm the ramparts of evil. It was pretty rousing stuff, particularly when you're seven. Back then, we knew what a king was, not because we had one as head of state, but because we were still pretty close to fairy tales and storybooks. But even then, because we didn't have a king, and in fact, our country was founded in opposition to a king, we knew that this was metaphorical. And as we grew up, the metaphor became more of a problem. I suspect that for most people, the generic king is like the little guy from the comic strip, The Wizard of Id. Any of you remember that? Remember back when there were newspapers? Yeah, The Wizard of Id. This king is short and impulsive and reactionary, and he exercises absolute authority. And I don't think it's a coincidence that his kingdom is called Id, the name that Freud gave to that piece of our personality that responds to our most primal needs and wants. This is a dangerous king, because at the least offense, he could order you jailed or thrown on the rack. And not surprisingly, the king in Id is universally disliked and feared. If the king from The Wizard of Id is a little bit before your time, or a lot before your time, think of the various kings and queens from the Game of Thrones. It's the same sort of fearsome king. For many years, this was the sort of king that a lot of people thought of on this feast day, I suspect, because Christ the King was one of the most triumphalistic feasts of the church's year, with lots of talk of thrones and dominion and majesty and power. How odd, then, that we have this particular set of scripture readings for today. From Ezekiel, we have this image of God as the good shepherd who will look after the sheep and rescue them and heal the ones that are hurt. God says, I'll look after them myself because their previous shepherds abused and scattered them. And who were those bad shepherds? Their kings. The gospel for today is also a pretty surprising choice if you're expecting a triumphant scene of Christ in judgment reigning as king. And instead, what we have is a scene of judgment where it doesn't matter whether those being judged even knew the king's name. What matters is that they saw him present in the poor and the hungry and imprisoned. Rather than being impressed by power and position, this king and judge welcomes into his kingdom those who looked after the least and the lowliest. All three of the Gospels for this feast day function in this way. In year B, which we'll get next year, we have Jesus before Pilate, where the king becomes the criminal and the accused is revealed as the real king. In year C, the Gospel is Luke's scene of Christ on the cross with a sign over his head that says, "This is your king." These Gospels shatter our image of the king who lives in the castle, exercising absolute authority over his subjects. And what it leaves us is the king who sacrifices and who lives in the poor and the rejected, whose highest value is truth, and who lays down his life for us. And that doesn't leave much room for triumphalism or imperialism or any kind of earthly authority. The Feast of Christ the King ought to make us a little bit uncomfortable. Not because we're uncomfortable with the metaphor of a king, but because we are still too comfortable with our own power and privilege and our own place in the hierarchies of our world. Part of our sinfulness is that as much as we dislike the idea of kingship, there's always that little temptation to think, well, it might be okay if I was king or queen. But the Christ, the King of these Gospels, challenges that temptation in us. And instead, we're asked to follow the King that we see in the poor and the rejected, the criminal who stands before Pilate for threatening the status quo, and the King who died on the cross. This is the last Sunday of the church's year. Next week, the season of Advent begins. And during this Advent, we'll be preparing for the King who comes to us, born into poverty and a refugee at his birth. This is the sort of King that we follow. Today's celebration of Christ the King asks us to abandon our lust for power and status, and instead to follow the King of the poor and to walk with him from the manger through his cross and resurrection and into his kingdom of justice and compassion.